Welcome to E-Society Podcast.
Hey, hey, what's up? It's Azizu back again, E-Society Podcast. We talk TV, movies, comics, collecting, sports, and everything entertainment. And this is another special edition. But before I go any further, it's the Nuz!
Yes, yes, y'all, what's up? We're back. Spotify for podcasters time. We came up with this idea for those of you that listened to our last, I don't remember what it was.
Think New
it was,
Jack Swing.
No. Oh, was that what it was? Did I put that on?
Yeah, you put out New Jack Swing.
No, I mean, was it on here? Yeah, okay. It was on, see, I get confused with everything that's on the regular network and all this stuff here on Spotify. All right. Well, the last few episodes we've done here, did the best 80s MCs, the Oscar nominations. Taylor and I did ringside for Royal Rumble for just nice. One match. We didn't actually do the whole Rumble. We just did one of the matches.
Nice.
The Logan Paul one and Kevin Owens. Yeah, the last one we did on here, which was a week or so ago, the Zisu's New Jack Swing Society or whatever we called it. But,
New Jack Swing right. Study Club.
Yeah. We're back with more. The Zisu got a list this time, so.
Yeah.
Let them know what's up.
So, as much as I love all of hip-hop, 90s is my time. It's when I was absorbing all of it that I could. Like I mentioned multiple times on the show, during the 90s, I got almost every Source magazine, Vibe magazine. I was at the Sam Goody, Tower Records, Warehouse, all that, getting all the singles I could, tape singles, CD singles. So I thought it would be fun to do a list with my top singles, my personal top hip-hop singles of the 90s. And when I started working on this list, I found it incredibly hard. At first, I was only going to do 20, like the New Jack Swing list, but it was just too impossible. I had to throw in another 10. So we figured we'd cut this up into three sections. We'll do 10, 10, 10. And yeah, even going into this recording, I had some last minute additions and some last minute cuts. So this was like incredibly hard. And just like my New Jack Swing list, this isn't supposed to be some like definitive, these are the best. This is my own personal list. So, you know, take that as you will. This is my own ranking. So yeah, like I said, it's not supposed to be some, you know, in general consensus type list. This is just my picks. And like I said, it was incredibly hard. And yeah, I just had three cuts there at the end. And because I had three additions, I felt like I had to add.
All right, or, man.
Well, four cuts. I had four cuts.
What were the ones you cut out of this before you dive into it?
Okay. I cut a track that I actually listened to a whole ton. I loved it. I was a huge fan of this guy. But as time went on, like, I kind of got really tired of the song. And it was one of those that I listened to so much. And then it became so popular and so played that I decided, okay, I wanted to put it on its list. I felt like it earned its spot. But then the more I wanted to add other stuff, I was like, okay, I got to cut this. And this was Warren G and Nate Dogg with Regulate. That was a cut.
But that's a classic song, though.
It is. And like I said, this is tough. This is tough. I got some heavy hitters here that I cut. Another one I cut, Far Side, Passing Me By. Super classic, love the Far Side, and felt like that was their definitive track. That was a late cut. Also,
well, hold on, really quick. Far Side, you know they're still out there doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a buddy of mine went to some festival and Farside was on the bill. He was showing me videos. He showed that one, and he showed me, I guess, Gwen Stefani was there with her solo stuff. So I was like, damn, I didn't even know Farside was still out there. So good, it was good to see that they're still out there doing it. If you guys don't know who the Farside is, I mean, for you 90s kids, you guys should know. But yeah, for any of you new jacks that are listening, check out the Farside, man. They have a couple albums out there, or a few albums out there, and they're pretty fresh.
Yep. I love Lab Cabin, California. A couple of tracks off of there, too. But yeah, Passing Me By, that's a track that people would know. They know the beat, maybe. They wouldn't even, like, that's one of those that, like, people know the beat, but they don't know the artist. Like, it's, they use that in, like, a million movies, TV shows, the beat for Passing Me By. So, yeah, tough cut. Another tough cut was, like I said, this was more of a personal favorite, a Bay Area favorite. I never got that big on the national stage, but Drew Downs, Can You Feel Me, was also a hard late cut, but had to cut it. And my final cut. Well, I nothing to say about Drew Down.
I wasn't a fan.
Steph has been lighting it up since we started recording, and Warriors are up 9 now with a minute left. So kind of hard to contain my excitement. My last cut, though, was Debrat, Funkified, Jermaine Dupri. Also a tough cut.
I didn't like. Well,
I love that track.
I
can't say I'm the biggest Debrat fan, but that track is so solid. So.
She was on one of those reality shows, and she, her attitude was shit. So I'm like, I don't like her.
Well, I didn't watch the reality shows, but
I did. She fucking got on my nerves.
Funkified.
I'm good, man. I ain't nothing to do with her. She got on my nerves. I'm like, she was acting like she was a big star. I'm like,
yeah. Well, I don't know about that.
Get out of here.
Funkified is barely known by anybody, and that's her biggest hit.
Is that her only hit? I don't even know what else she had. I didn't even care for that song. But after I saw her on that reality show, when she just thought she was better than everyone, I was like, she acted like she didn't even want to be there. I'm like, then why did you sign up to do this? Someone else could have been on there and been less bitchy. And I was like, man,
well, I mean, it is in her name.
You ain't nobody anyway.
Other biggest tracks, she has a track on Missy's album, Sock It To Me. She has a track on Lil' Kim's album, Not Tonight. She has a track on Total's album, No One Else. It kind of goes to show that Funkified was pretty much her one and only hit. That was from 1994. She had a 1996 album, a 2000 album, and a 2003 album, and I guess she called it quits after that.
All right.
But, those are my honorable mentions. So I guess we should actually get into the list and start at number 30.
Well, really quick, I'm watching some old 90s skate videos. While we're talking about this, for all you rippers out there, for you 90s rippers, there was a lot. Well, back when they were making these skate videos, they weren't asking for permission to use tracks. They were just getting music and throwing them on all these videos. So there's a lot of good 90s hip hop, a lot of underground 90s hip hop stuff, and some mainstream stuff. But I just, because I'm watching a Planet Earth video, and there was some in the background, so I couldn't tell you who the artist is, but I remember Well, this video came out in 91, so early 90s. All right, hit it.
All right, at number 30, I'm going to go with a group of artists that everybody should know, but not for the track I'm going to pick. I think people would expect me to pick other tracks. And at number 30, this is Naughty by Nature with Feel Me Flow. I love this track a lot. I love the video a lot. My favorite track of theirs, obviously, most people would think of OPP or Hip Hop Hooray. But for me, it's Feel Me Flow.
Wasn't a fan of Naughty by Nature. Not to take it away from Tretch, man. He was a good MC, but I just did nothing for me. He was good as an actor. He did a few 90s movies. There was one. It was him and Omar Epps. I want to say it was called First Time Felon, I think. Let me see. I think that's what it was. Yeah, it was called First Time Felon. That came out in late 90s, 97. And Tretch was in it. He played a character named Tyrone. So for those of you that have seen that film, or if you haven't seen it, oh, it was a TV movie. I think I saw it on like HBO or something. So, but I don't see it streaming anywhere. So, but I'm sure if you look it up, maybe you'll find it. It might be on YouTube. So, but yeah, if you want to see Tretch's acting, check out a First Time Felon. But yeah, I wasn't that big of a Naughty by Nature fan. I can appreciate the songs they put out for hip hop because they put out some bangers. And everybody, when you heard those songs at the time, well, what year was this one?
Okay, so OPP was 91, Hip Hop Hooray was 92, Feel Me Flow was 95 off the album Poverty's Paradise. And if you look at the video for it, it's one of my favorite. They're playing around in the snow, snowboarding and whatnot. It actually goes back and forth between like summer and winter scenes. So, but yeah, always one of my favorites. And like I said, I feel like of their singles, it's known it was popular, but it's obviously everybody's third track after OPP and Hip Hop Hooray. And for me, Feel Me Flow is my favorite of the bunch.
All right.
So that was number 30. Number 29, first artist from the Clan. And this is Method Man off of his debut album To Cal, and this is Bring the Pain. It was hard, as you'll see on my list, kind of teasing it right now. The Wu put out all kinds of albums in the 90s as the Clan, but then all these their solo albums too. And I almost skipped putting Meth on the list. This was one that was that made it in late. As I said, some slipped off. And Meth, I feel like, had to make his way in just because of how iconic Bring the Pain is and Meth's flow. And as representative for me as the Wu is of the 90s, I'm including other artists you'll see in the list from the Wu. So I felt like it would be an injustice not to include Mr. Meth.
I liked everything he was a part of. Even all, not every acting thing, but he did a lot of good stuff. I thought, to me, as far as acting, the smaller roles he did were probably my favorites. But as far as on the mic, just his style is just awesome. I mean, everything. He was a type of MC that you just play any beat and he can just off the top of his head and go. That's what I've always loved about him.
Yes, yes. And Bring the Pain is used by so many boxers and UFC fighters for ring intro music. I've noticed that. And even in that movie I love, Great White Hype. I don't know how recently you've seen that, but they actually Damon Wayans, boxer, Meth actually is in the movie and comes out singing Bring the Pain as Damon Wayans comes to the ring all fat and out of shape.
Was Samuel L. Jackson in that one?
He was. God, that movie is so good. It holds up. And there's so many people in it. Jeff Goldblum's in it. Now I need to look it up. Yeah, Great White Height. It like I said, I saw it. 1996 is Great White Hype. Samuel Jackson, Jeff Goldblum, Damon Wayans, Peter Berg, Corbin Burnson, John Lovitz, Cheech, John Rhys-Davies, Jamie Foxx. Yeah, hella good.
Really quick, First Time Felon with Tretch. If you want to see it, the whole movie's on YouTube for free. So check it out.
Right. And
look that up.
Oh, it doesn't look like Great White Hype streaming anywhere right now. It's just available on Amazon to rent, $3.79 from what I'm seeing. But yeah, so you Bring the Pain. Meth's in that also. So that's my number 29 track, Method Man, Bring the Pain. Which brings me to my number 28 track. I felt like this one was too influential to pass up, and I got to represent as much as I can for the Bay Area there. But obviously, by far and away, their biggest track ever. And this is The Loonies with I Got Five on it from 1995.
Was that like their only hit?
Pretty much. If you look them up, I have them on the Apple Music here, and I Got Five on it is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's their top 7 most popular songs, like different versions of it. So
it's like the one they used in Us.
Yes.
So they redid it. It fit the movie.
Yep. So good. But yeah, it was cool. Like I said, how it broke through. They're a relatively small, unknown Bay Area duo. And that song blew up like crazy and is like never really not been popular, I guess, because of weed culture.
Yep.
But like I said, 28 Loonies, I Got Five on it. Which brings me to 27, a track I talked about a lot recently on the pod. I had you look up and listen to. And this, like I said, this one I feel like is one of my deeper cuts for this list. And this is from 1997, Boogie Monsters with The Beginning of the End from the Godsend Sound album. I'm sure you remember just recently me having you check that out, right?
Nope. I'm listening to it right now.
Hey, yeah, just like it was like a week ago or something. I had you listen to
I don't remember. Well, this sounds good. I mean, you can understand them. You can understand them.
This is the one I was telling you, living these last days and times, check yourself and what you feed your mind. I know you can't be blind living in the future. It's one of those, it was 1997 and the year 2000 was coming and everybody thought it was end of days. And just like Busta Rhymes, there's only 5 years left. This is one of those tracks. Living in these last days and times, the distant future, the year 2000.
Where are these guys from?
East, I think, Philly or New York. But, I mean, they're pretty, New York. They're pretty underground. I like that beat in the back.
You guys can't hear it, but I'm listening to it. Yeah, see? That's what I like about these type of MCs. I mean, the beat is simple. There isn't a ton of stuff piled on top of it.
Yeah, it's got and that you, haunting.
And you can understand them. Not like this bullshit today.
There's like a chant in the background, a low.
Sounds like ODB in the background.
Yeah. So, yeah, Boogie Monsters. Definitely a deep cut for me. And one that I wanted to get in there, just my love for this track. Like I said, maybe the deepest cut in this whole list. So,
all right.
But yeah, I guess we'll just keep it on rolling. That was 27, Boogie Monsters, Beginning of the End, which brings us to 26. Back to the Bay Area. Somebody you called last time we recorded, you said they were going to be on this, and of course they are. And this is Del the Funky Homo Sapien. I celebrate his whole catalog, his whole library. But the track that I picked, the track that I love, going back to 1993's No Need for Alarm album, the Catch a Bad One track two off the album, Catch a Bad One.
That ain't the freshest song on the album, though. Cause this is my favorite DEL album. Don't forget, that's my favorite track on this song or on this album, everyone. But this was the I want to say I think he said he directed this. My buddy Roy. Because I'm watching the video. I'm watching the video right now, and Roy's in the video.
Oh, awesome.
So I want to... Ghetto Geppetto, everyone.
Right, right.
I want to say he directed this.
Amazing.
I'm not really sure. Let me hit him up really quick. Ask him, but go ahead, talk about this song.
Yeah, like I said, for me, Del's influence, I was thinking maybe I'll bring it up again at the end. And we're always looking, you know, for a new list thing, but as hard as it was for me to get tracks from the 90s, I think I could probably do the 2000s, ever since 2000 to now, and I could probably just do 20 for that. Because once that hit, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of stuff I like. I'm sure I can put together stuff, but for me, the meat of everything comes to the 90s here, so... like I said, had to, even though some of my favorite Del stuff comes with the Deltron 3030 project, where he teams up with Kid Koala and Dan the Automator. That's some of my favorite Del stuff. And of course, he teamed up with the Gorillaz in the 2000s. But yeah, I had to give him some love here. Like I said, back on the 93 No Need for Alarm album. I'd say, honestly, for me, that's like kind of when came to my attention, you know, as most hip hop did. Like, that's such iconic year. Biggie, The Wu, 93 is just so important. So yeah, like I said, Catch a Bad One is gonna come in at number 26 on my list.
I mean, the reason I like this album so much, because if you guys have listened to his first album, I Wish My Brother George Was Here.
Yep.
That one, I want to say it was more produced by Ice Cube and them. It was a lot of samples of 70s funk music. And I mean, the songs were good and everything. I liked them, but it just sounded too... It was when everybody was sampling all the 70s funk stuff. Like, everybody was doing
it. Right. And like even so Ice Cube was doing the one with George Clinton with that. What was that track he did? The one with George Clinton, you know, the video.
I don't know. I didn't.
One Nation Under a Groove.
When they started sampling all that.
For the funk of it.
I was getting sick of it.
And we're on the move. Nothing can stop us now. That one.
it was bugging me because everybody was just using it all up.
In that Ice Cube? 1993. Doesn't he? Is that the right line? No, I almost got to look it up.
But I mean, this album, it was him and whoever else helped him produce this album. Yeah, they threw some samples in there, but it was nothing. I always mention as far as the new hip hop stuff. Or even stuff back then in the 90s, whoever was big at the time, they took a regular beat and just put too, in my opinion, put too much stuff on top of everything, on top of it. This one, the beats that he had on this album, this is all my opinion, everyone. It was one steady beat, and then they threw a couple things on top of it, and then you focused on what he was saying in his songs. And I've always loved his style. He didn't have to change it up and make it sound all crazy and however these guys are sounding right now. My opinion, he's an MC. There's rappers and there's MCs. Dell was an MC. I went to high school with this guy. And to listening to early Dell, like before anything was on wax, him sitting in science class, notebook full of rhymes. And he was just sitting there just spitting them. I mean, so I was just sitting there like basically getting a free show before he was
right.
Who everybody knows who he is now. Because I remember just sitting there listening to him going, oh, this sounds good. I was deep into all the Bay Area thrash scene. I of course, I had the hip hop and everything, but he was still doing it. And I didn't realize he got big until MTV. I was watching what was that show? Yo MTV Raps, and one of his videos was on there. And then I was like, whoa. I remember kind of like just glancing. It came on, I wasn't really paying attention. And then I looked at the screen and I saw him. I was like, whoa. And then I went out and bought that album. And then the other videos came out from it. And my buddy Roy and some other guys that I went to high school were all in those videos as well. So, and Roy, Ghetto Geppetto, man, he's him and Dell, man, they're still doing stuff together, man. They're working on some new projects right now.
Super.
So cool. Hopefully get to see and hear it all. But I mean, as far as everything that Dell has put out, I loved it all. But if I have to pick an album, No Need for Alarm is my favorite.
Oh yeah,
Dell album. Yeah. It's fucking fresh. Hieroglyphics, all of that. If you guys ever get a chance, go to Hyro Day. Go. It's definitely worth it.
Yes.
But yeah, man. I mean, DEL, man. I mean, he's fresh. Straight out of Oakland. If you guys haven't heard of him, check him out.
Just to follow up, I did look it up, that Ice Cube song. It's called Bop Gun, One Nation, the George Clinton one. And he does say 1993. So I was remembering right.
I mean, I respect Ice Cube, but I don't know. There was after America's Most Wanted was my favorite album. Then he did, what was that other? It was like an EP he did, the second one he did. I can't remember what that was called. Because Death Certificate, that was his second full album, and then after that he did the Predator, then Lethal Injection, and then it was hit and miss for me with Ice Cube. But I mean, America's Most Wanted, my favorite album of his. Every track on that is fresh. So that came out in 90. little bit. All right, continue.
Yeah, let's keep it rolling. Like I said, that was 26, Del the Funky Homo Sapien with Catch a Bad One, which brings me to number 25. We're headed back into the fourth chamber, that of the Wu-Tang Clan, but this is the artist. This was a solo album from the GZA, and this was Liquid Swords, off of Liquid Swords, the first track. Amazing beat. Love GZA's crisp, clean delivery. Got a cool RZA feature on it. And then, yeah, just the beat is amazing. Just the doot, 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 doot. Just classic Wu. And never got tired of it then. Still not tired of it now. This is an everlasting track for me and had to be part of my list. As you'll see, we got a few representatives for the Wu. This is already the second of my list, but yeah, from 1995, the GZA with Liquid Swords.
I'm listening to it right now.
And I remember also, the song. It has a great, if you listen to just the track, it has a great opening. I can't remember what the film was, but I used to have the VHS of it. Maybe you'll know right off the top. It's
too long of an intro, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
It's like 2 minutes before the actual song kicks in.
Right. It's because, yeah, it's like the whole clip from the movie. My father would come home. He'd forget about the killings. The Shogun, he wasn't scared of the Shogun, but the Shogun was scared of him. Then, one night, they came to our house. That was the night everything changed.
Yeah, this beat in the back, man, is I mean, Jizz is fresh, period. Same thing with this stuff. I mean, with this beat. It's simple.
Simple beat. There's a breakdown at one part.
There isn't a lot on top of it. Yep. I mean, all this stuff I'm saying is my opinion, everyone. I like when they do this, man. It doesn't make the song all busy. I mean, you're focusing on, I mean, you hear the beat, of course, but you're focusing on what the MC is saying. I mean, that's what I like. I mean, because, and it's just, it's, the beat is simple, and this, but the song is still fresh. And like you said, his delivery is just awesome. I mean, pretty much everybody in the Wu is awesome, especially with the everyone's got different styles, but they all sound good. And when you bring them all together, when they're the Wu-Tang Clan, that even makes it fresher.
Right. Yep. No doubt. But yeah, like I said, got a lot of love for that track, one that I've never gotten tired of, on playlists for years and years, ever since 95 when it came out. So, yep. Number 25 track, GZA with Liquid Swords, which brings us to number 24 and supposedly the last album. And this is Two Shorts, Getting It, which is funny because we were just talking about Bop Gun, Ice Cube and Parliament Funkadelic. This is Too Short with Parliament Funkadelic. Getting It, the 1996 track, when we thought Too Short was done. But instead, he went on and, of course, he did all kinds. He did a 2003 album. 2006, he did Blow the Whistle. But it always, it's funny to me when, like, so many artists do this when they say, like, oh, here we, yeah, whatever. He the lyrics are right there in Getting It. Like, here we go. It's whatever. On the last album. And of course it wasn't. Of course it wasn't. But still, always loved this track. Obviously, we love Too Short a lot, but this one was always special to me.
His, album number 10, I believe this one was.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Getting It, album number 10.
But I mean, I love Too Short, period. More the Out of the Trunk and the earlier stages. Born a Mac, my favorite album of his, came out in 87. That's my motto. Shorty the Pimp, probably my second favorite album of his. But everything he's put out, to me, is, see, this is the stuff that I grew up with, listening to Too Short and his dirty rhymes. And I've just loved it, everything he had to say. I know, like, well, that's wrong with the stuff he says. You can't please everybody. But, I mean, he kept it going. I mean, he just kept putting album after album out. Bunch of singles, a bunch of greatest hits, revamping old songs and doing them again. I mean, he's got such a huge catalog. I mean, it's hard to put everything, even if he does make another greatest cuts album. I mean, he could probably make a few different ones with all the albums that he has.
Yeah, different eras.
Yeah.
And I mean, whatever he called getting it, the 1996 album, his last album, but I guess you could say it's just the last of that era.
Yeah, well, I mean, the last of the year, because what, it was 96, and then the next one didn't come out until, was it 90? Oh. No, 99. Can't Stay Away.
Oh,
he did that one. Yeah, see, he was Playboy Short, man. He's still out there doing it.
That was only 3 years later.
He does a lot of shows.
How did he ever think that could be it? You know, like,
he can't. How would
really think that was going to be it? You know,
he's what, 57 now, and he's still out there doing it. I mean, the album after this, Can't Stay Away. He kept doing. I mean, they're not hip hop. Slayer is back, and they retired. Well, retired for 5 years, and now Slayer's back. So hopefully get to go to Rat Fest in Chicago. So any of you guys are going to be there, look for me. But Short, man, I mean, even if he doesn't put out any more albums, he could still tour and sell shows out. I mean, you have that big of a catalog of just different cuts from the beginning to whenever his last album is.
Well, he did the album not too long ago with E-40, where they did like a dual album. So
they had that battle that was on TV.
Right.
I mean, it's or online. I'm sorry, TV. But I mean, you can't stop him. You can't stop Short. He's always going to be doing stuff. He'll always be on stage. But yeah, I mean, I loved everything that he's put out.
But you probably weren't as big a fan of Getting It as I was, that because of the whole Parliament thing, right?
It was a good album, but I mean, it wasn't.
No, I mean the track.
It wasn't my favorite.
Getting It.
It's okay. It was a little too slow for me.
Getting It.
It's too slow for me.
Yeah. Love that track. Anyways, yeah, that was Too Short, Getting It at 24, which brings me to 23, and another artist I felt was undeniable, couldn't not have him on this list. And don't get me wrong, I listened to him like everybody else did. I had all the albums like everybody else did. But I'm not picking something from All Eyes on Me. I'm going back to 1995's Me Against the World, and this is Tupac with So Many Tears. Definitely, I think Me Against the World, even though it was like crazy how crushing and like unstoppable All Eyes on Me was, I think I like overall Me Against the World better. And it's like, you know, he went so, and it's like, that's what people love about All Eyes on Me, how like Death Row he went and how West Coast he went and aggressive. And I get it. I get why people like that. But Also, like, it's described, his Tupac's third album, Me Against the World, is a stressed-out West Coast poet turned a critical eye to his bleak surroundings. And yeah, So Many Tears, the track that I selected, it does have, like, a little bit of a slower beat, the doo-doo-doo, like that. But, yeah, if I had to pick one, like I said, this isn't like some consensus list. If it was somebody else's, obviously consensus list, it would have been something off of All Eyes on Me, probably California Love or something like that. But for me, like I said, it's So Many Tears. How about you?
I wasn't that big of a Pac fan.
Yeah, no, I wasn't a huge fan either, but like I said, it was undeniable. I had the stuff and like played it everywhere. The only song for me,
I liked his first album.
The track, huh?
His first album was good because he had something to say, my opinion. But after that, I mean, once he got into the thug life and this and that, I just kind of like went, okay. I mean, we know who you are and all that. He did have he's got a good story. I mean, if you guys have seen the movie, that was just some of it. But if you get a chance to read those books that they've written about him, and he started out strong. And then, I don't want to say the fame got to his head. I don't know. I mean, I didn't know the man, but he was living the life. And then, I don't know. They did catch the guys that murdered him after however many years.
Keefy D. What was crazy is Joel showed me a documentary like years before where they actually had that info. And it was crazy to see. And it was like, how do people like not know it? And then like, yeah, years later, I finally got the guy. But it was like on documentary like years ago.
Yep, but I don't know. But he's got his place in hip hop. He had a good style. I think Two of America's Most Wanted is probably my favorite one. That one he did with Snoop.
Yep, and that's off that song. All Eyes on Me.
Off this album, yeah. And that beat is just, you don't even need to hear the lyrics. You just hear that beat. I wish we could play music on here, everyone, but we can't. but it's cool, though, man. I mean, I can appreciate who he is and what he's done for hip-hop. But it was just his life. Then I was like, okay, whatever. But, I mean, that's not how everybody is. I mean, it's not just hip-hop people that have money and everything. And there's other genres, rock stars that think they're the best because they're rich and everything. And even country stars.
You know the track I'm talking about? So Many Tears?
Yeah.
Okay. So like I said, that comes in at number 23, Tupac, So Many Tears. Which brings me to 22 and another undeniable track. It's one of those that, for me, huge at the time, never stopped being huge. For other people, it might have become huge around the time of Eminem's 8 Mile, kind of becoming more well-known to people. But this is Mobb Deep off of the infamous 1995 Shook Ones Part 2. Just a real undeniable, super gritty East Coast beat. It feels like cold, bitter winter, this track. And yeah, like I said, it found a new audience and gained a new popularity with 8 Mile. But always a big track for me all the way back to 1995 when the single was out. I had the CD single and everything. Mobb Deep, Shook Ones, Part 2.
To all the killers, $100 billers. Yeah, this song, man, I haven't heard this in a while.
Yep.
And what I loved about Mobb Deep is you can understand them. And the beat is simple, not a lot piled on top of it, and it just sounds sinister.
Yeah.
I want to say they use. I want to say they use this beat in Juice. I could be wrong, everyone. But I'm picturing Juice with the beat in the background. One of the scenes when we see Q walking along the river, and this music is playing. I could be wrong. It could be something totally different. That's what this song reminds me of.
Maybe that Juice was 92, and Shook Ones Part 2 was 95, but Part 2 was the one that really took off. Maybe Part 1 already did have the beat.
All right, everyone, really quick. Let me go back to Dell. I just got a hold of Roy. I texted him. I said, did you direct any Dell videos? He said he was first AD on Catch a Bad One, as well as being in that one. Yeah, he's in the other.
There you go.
I'm in a few others. I directed the Full Circle Tour movie with those guys and a few videos around then. I can't remember. That can't remember it was named in the early 2000s. All right, so I knew he was a part of To Catch a Bad One, the video and everything. Yeah, and like I said, he's in it as well. Okay. I couldn't remember. I remember him telling me, and I couldn't remember if he directed it. So, but he was an assistant director. So I guess he did. But shout out to Ghetto Geppetto. Follow him on Instagram, everybody. AKA Roy Miles. That's my homie from the old school.
Shout out.
And he's out there doing it, everyone. He's still doing it. So, all right. Yeah, but back to Mobb Deep. Yeah, I'm listening to this. It's in my ears right now, and I haven't heard Mobb Deep in hella years. I don't even think I have any. But yeah, man, you can't deny Mobb Deep. If you guys don't know who they are, man, definitely check them out.
Yes, definitely do. All right, and that'll take us to 21 and wrapping up our first 10 on my list. This is Back to the Bay one more time, Skiggity Scat. It's E-40 with 1995's Sprinkle Me with Sugar T. This one was... like I said, this one also played it so much, so often. And this is right around the time, too, when this came out and when they did that, the Click album, also with Sugar T and those other guys who's not coming to mind right now. Be Legit. And I'm forgetting who else was in the Click.
It was a bunch of people.
Yeah. Anyways, shortly after, I think I told the story before. Silver Legacy opened in Reno, I was there with friends, you know, and I'm just of high school age in high school. And I'm sitting there talking to my friends, and boom, I ran right into E-40, and he hit me with the "Watch yourself, playboy," which has never left me. And I love telling that story that I ran into him and he said, "Watch yourself, playboy."
All the times I've met him were at the airport. When I used to work in Oakland, they were always flying on us. Sugar T said, "Yeah, we always fly the Ghetto airline." I'm like, "Okay, cool." But yeah, they were doing a show down in LA. This was back in the 90s, mid 90s when I first started working for the airline. They all came running up. Well, 40 got on first. He showed up early. And it was me and one of the sky caps was standing there, and he was getting like all of their autographs right as they were getting on the plane. So he had them signing like $100 bill or something. So 40 signed it real quick, and then we were standing there talking. Then here came Sugar T running down the jetway. She goes, "Oh," she was like, "Hold the flight, hold the flight." I said, "No, you got time, slow down." So she was like, oh, thanks. And then that's when she told me, she goes, oh, yeah, we always fly the ghetto airline. I'm like, all right, cool. So, but yeah, I met her, 40, and I assume that was all the clique that was with her, because she came running down, and then everyone else came running. And they're like, oh, man, it was traffic. If you guys know 880 traffic going towards the airport, sucks, period. So, but yeah, they barely made it when they got on the flight, because they were getting ready to do a show as soon as they got to L.A. So, but I like this song.
Yeah, Sprinkle Me, Maine.
Sprinkle me. Fody Water. Yeah, this is a good
time
track.
I haven't
heard this in a while. What was this? In a Major Way?
That in album? A Major Way, 1995. Yeah. Sprinkle Me, featuring Sugar T. Number 6 track. Big single. Had a big presence, not just in the Bay. It made it across hip-hop, so that was really good to see.
I love the album, the cover.
Yeah, he's the watch.
He's cooking it up. You guys know what I mean. But,
yeah. Oh, yep, man. Skiggity scat. He's far and away too. He's so influential to. He's made his mark, like, in the history of hip hop with his ways and his lingo and his made up words.
My favorite album is The Mailman, Captain Save-A-Ho. You can't beat that album. You can't beat that track. But this song, man, I mean, all his beats and everything are fresh. He doesn't have to rap fast. He raps fast, but the beat doesn't need to be fast. It can be just going nice and steady, and he could just, you guys know 40 on his style. That's what I loved about him. I mean, he had style. I remember the very, very first time I heard him, I was like, what did he say? Yeah. Because he's like rhyming like so fast. But that was his style. That was his style. Because I'm listening to Captain Save-A-Ho right now. If you listen to that one, he's got other guys from the Click and Sugar T, and when they're rapping, they're rhyming right along with the beat. And then when he comes in, he's like going way faster than them, but still staying on time with the beat. And he does that in a lot of his tracks, and that's what I've always loved about him. I just thought he's amazing on the mic. He's done some acting here and there, but not a lot. But I mean, I love all that. And Sprinkle Me, oh yeah, that's the hit right there.
Yep. And even though that brings us to the end of this 10, just to tie it into 40, The Click also released an album that year, 95, game related, and had the track Hurricane, but you can call me Slurricane.
Let me see. I don't remember. I need to hear it.
Oh, Hurricane, yeah. But you could call me Slurricane.
I remember this. They're playing a board game on the album cover.
Yep.
Shit, I haven't heard this song in a long time either. Damn. Is The Click still around?
I mean, I don't think. Like as far as, like, performing, but I'm sure whatever, he still, like, represents for them. He still, you know, honors them. 40 obviously still honors them. Speaking of 40, you can turn on the TV right now, whatever, if you have access. Well, you're not hearing this live, but he's at every Warriors home game. 41 games a year, you can find 40 right next to the Warriors bench.
Didn't someone want to fight him at one of those games? And he got kicked out.
That was in Sacramento. And now he's been banned from Sacramento. Just so lame.
Your team sucks anyway. I'm trying to just look up The Click. Are they still?
No, still, I mean, even anything? Looking, like, they had Down and Dirty, and they had Game Related. Money and Muscle, 2001.
That was it.
2010, The Click, The Blueprint, How We Made It Big in the Music Business audiobook.
They only did three albums.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. I mean, it's not like 40 needed them, but.
Yeah, like I said, I'm sure he still represents for them, you know.
Let me see. Be Legit. Looks like he's still doing stuff, but.
Hey, there you go. Good to hear.
I don't know if he's out there. About Sugar T, what's she doing? 52. She's still going. Says years active, 88 to present. What about D Shot? What is he doing? Yep, he's still active too. 90 to now. Well, see, they're still out there doing it. So, all of them, all three of them.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? I mean, maybe they're still doing stuff with 40. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard The Click in forever. So I don't know, but it looks like they're still out there doing it.
Right. All right. Well, like I said, that was track 21 for me, E40's Sprinkle Me. That's our first 10. We had at 30, Naughty by Nature's Feel Me Flow. 29 was Method Man's Bring the Pain. 28 was Loonies, I Got Five on It. 27 was Boogie Monsters, Beginning of the End. 26 was Dell with Catch a Bad One. 25 was GZA with Liquid Swords. 24 was Too Short, Getting It. 23, Tupac, So Many Tears. 22, Mobb Deep, Shook Ones Part 2. And 21 was E40, Sprinkle Me.
Sprinkle Me, Sprinkle Me.
Maine.
Yep. Well, all right, everyone. We'd be here all night if we did all 30, but we're going to...
Right.
Like you said, we're going to break this up into three. So you're a little over an hour.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It would have been a 3-hour show, maybe even longer.
Yeah. Right. Probably would have been longer because, you know, we'd go off the rails. So.
Yeah. But hold on. Let me.
Timer.
Yes, Roy. Something real quick.
Fody Water.
Let me see if I can get him on before we get out of here. Let's see if he'll let us know what he did on the stuff he did for Dell. I don't know how quick he'll answer me, but I mean, we still got what, 20 more to go?
Yep.
So 20 more. We shall see.
And like I said at the top, this isn't supposed to be some definitive list, just my favorite tracks, you know, which is hard enough. Like, it could switch day to day, honestly, but it's just a fun reason to be able to talk about these tracks.
Yeah. I'm trying to get him on real quick, everyone. So hold on. I might have to just tack this on.
Yeah.
If he doesn't answer me right away. No. He's a busy man. He does a lot. If you follow him on Instagram at Ghetto Geppetto,
I do.
You'll see.
Very good follow.
You'll see what he does. He's got a lot. He's gonna do some stuff for us too. At some point, I gotta get with him. Yeah. So follow Ghetto Geppetto. It's GHETTOGEPPETTO. On Instagram. So check him out. He's got tons and tons of content that he does. He's also a music maker, a collectible collector, toy maker, if that's what you want to call it. He does it a lot, man. He's been doing it, geez, since I met him when I was in seventh grade. You gotta do the math. I don't remember what year that was, sometime in the 80s, mid-80s, I'd say. And I went to junior high and high school with him, and he's been doing just so much out there. But anyway, well, I don't know, he's not answering, but if he answers me in the next minute or two, I'll tack it on.
Yeah.
But
yeah, let me give you one last fun Warriors update. 188 with 10 minutes to go up over the Lakers. So we need this win. We need to win them all down the stretch here. About 30 games left in the season. So fighting for playoff positioning.
All right. That's it, everyone. I don't know. He'll probably get back to me.
Yeah.
But all right, everyone. That is going to be it this episode. We shall come back whenever we get a chance to finish it. So listen to this one. Yep. Don't expect the next one super soon. When we get to it, we get to it. Because I got to go out of town this weekend. So we'll just hold you off with this one. So. But everyone, yeah, you guys know, you know the drill. Follow us everywhere: Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. Just search E Society and all that, and have at it. But everyone, listen to our. If you guys haven't listened to our last episode, episode 304, definitely go check that out. And if you didn't listen to our ESP Rewind of the 1991 Mario Van Peebles film New Jack City. Yeah. Definitely check that one out. Shout out to everyone that listened to the last episode and our rewind. So that's over on our regular Podbean network. Just search MacNez Podcasts. Go to the links are below, everyone. It'll send you to all of that. So go check it out. But yeah, if you're on Podbean or any of these podcast apps out there, just search MacNez Podcast or what have you, E-Society. It'll all pop up on there. So, but all right, everyone, that's gonna be it this episode. Please come back next time so we can give you part two of the Z-Suit. What are you calling this anyway?
The Z-Suit's 90s hip hop list study club.
All right, everyone. Yeah, so you guys know the deal. Just links are all down below. But come back for more next time. So until then, please be safe out there and party on.
Yep. Thanks everyone for listening. Till next time. Have fun. Be safe, and we'll see you next time, E Society.
We were talking about Dell. We're doing a 90s hip hop list, and Dell's what was the song called? The No Need. It was from the No Need for Alarm album. To Catch a Bad One. Yeah, we were doing that, and I had mentioned. I said, "Yeah, man, my homie. I thought you directed it because I remember you telling me, but I wasn't really sure. But for our audience, what did you do?
Go ahead. I was gonna say that Kwame directed that video, and I assisted directed him on that. And that was the first time we were able to like work on a video as like the people in charge. And we went above and beyond because we pre-vised that video, which is like a normal thing to do now, but that was never a thing back in the early 90s. We had, I wish they were still around. We had watercolor storyboards for this thing. Kwame and I took a video camera and went to all the locations and filmed each other doing the stuff that Dell was going to be doing in the video.
Uh-huh.
And we cut that together on videotape just to make sure that it was going to be cool, you know? Yeah, it was... and then when we started shooting the video... when we got to the second night when we were doing the stuff that's in the church, which is actually a mortuary in San Francisco, the actor didn't show up to be the person that, you know, the story is that there's a rapper that, you know, can't think of lyrics because Dell is too good. You know? So I stepped in as the black rapper. And so there was a preacher who I think was Rasan's uncle or something. And he was a preacher. And if you watch that video, he's a real preacher. But that's not a church, right? It's a mortuary with a little chapel.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, he looks like he's preaching a sermon, but he's actually saying the lyrics to a Jimi Hendrix song, because he is a real preacher and he didn't want to do anything sacrilegious.
Oh.
So since there was no audio, you know, he said, I can't do, like, I think Kwame wanted him to, like, do a sermon, and he's like, I can't do that. That's sacrilege, but I will do the Purple Haze lyrics. That's what he was doing. You know?
Well, we couldn't hear him. So
on my knees, acting like he's like saying something, but he's really just saying Jimi Hendrix.
So you're the guy sitting at the desk with your hand, your hands over.
I was sitting at the desk too, and that was, I had to cry on camera, and I remember Kwame being like, "You don't look sad enough," and I was like, "Well, damn, nigga, I'm not sad," but I was able to pull it off and make myself cry. I don't know what I was thinking about, but probably something very sad.
Well, all right, yeah, because when we brought it up on the list, and I was saying that, yeah, I went to high school with him, and I was saying that, yeah, I got some of basically a free show every morning in science class, because he was always sitting there spitting out his rhymes in this book, the book that he had. So, I mean, I would just sit there and listen to him. It wasn't like he was screaming it out loud. He was just kind of saying it to himself, but it was loud. He sat right in front of me, so it was loud enough for me to hear. So I would just sit there and listen. I had no idea he was going to be who he is today.
You had no idea that some of those raps were for Ice Cube.
Oh, were they? Oh, gee, I don't remember what he was saying.
Yeah.
Well, so, shit. Well,
they were for Ice Cube. So, like, so, you know, so the Gangster's Fairy Tale.
Yeah.
He wrote that.
Oh, damn.
And then the other homie, this is really unknown. I just found this out recently, that the homie, my very close homie, CMPX, which we know as Tone, a.k.a. Rontonio Fletcher, who ended up separating from Hieroglyphics when everybody started getting signed with, and we went and started our own record company. I was talking to him recently, and we were talking about those days, and he helped write not just that song, but he also helped Dell write all the stuff that they wrote for Yo-Yo's album. Dell wrote most of the raps for Yo-Yo's album.
Her first album?
Yeah.
Okay.
And our second album, I think. And I only know that because Tone lives in Chicago now, and his wife was working on a Disney movie, and Yo-Yo was in the Disney movie, like a Disney Channel movie. Uh-huh. And she's like, I think my husband knows you. And she got her on the phone, and it was a whole thing. So he was telling me that, and I was like, oh, so you helped Taryn with those raps. That's hella funny. So, but that's how it was back then, you know. Yep. And that's from the NWA days, you know, where Cube would write a rap and be like, hey, Ren, you should do this rap. Or, Ren would do the same thing. You know, everybody would do that for everybody. You know, whoever had the freshest rap and thought it was for the best person for the song, you know. Because Eazy-E didn't write any raps, you know.
Yeah. I know I saw one of your videos on Instagram and you were still doing stuff with Dell. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I was, so we've collaborated. He has a thing called Manic Mondays where like about as many as 15 rappers go to his house on Mondays and, Monday nights. And it's like maybe two to four producers. And the way his house is set up is that each room has a little recording set up. And a mic, and everybody is just recording raps in every room.
Damn.
It's like Razzcast, Architect, a lot of like people, if you're there, there's people I know from my past, you know, that I like rappers from Oakland, but, that I knew that, you know, when I was younger that, you know, I'm glad they're out here, like Mike Wall Street, all these guys, but also like a Razzcast will be there. Like people show up to this now, and it started about, 8 months ago, and about around the same time he and I were working on music for my Hood Flip project. So he made the first official Hoodland song. Nobody's ever heard it yet because I'm still I don't want to waste it because it's too good. You know what I mean? So I'm just not going to just throw it on the internet, just to throw it on the internet.
Yeah.
But he made a Hoodland song, and we have a couple of the songs. He is the voice of one of the characters now, called Ducky. And, yeah, you know, we're just, as I'm getting my thing together, he's just jumping on, you know, just as the homie, and he loves Hoodland and Hoodfoot and all that stuff, so.
Well, that's cool, man. And like I said, everyone, follow Ghetto Geppetto on Instagram, because there's all kinds of fresh stuff on there. And it's that's cool.
It's very important that you follow me on Instagram.
Yep. Everybody. listen to the homie right here. Man, we've been homies for I don't know how long. Forever.
So. You were the first person to make me get on a skateboard. you know what I mean? Like, I owe my skate career to you and one other person. I'm not going to say their name. But, you know... And you know we go way back, and you go even further back with my wife. You guys are damn near first in kindergarten together, right?
Second grade is when I met her.
Second grade is pretty far back. That's yeah, like 100 years.
Yeah,
you both
so. Forever. And she didn't age one bit. She was exactly the same.
Yeah, lucky me.
Well, all right, everybody. That is let me just say that. Yeah. This is the homie, Ghetto Geppetto, Roy Miles. Definitely follow him and check him out. So,
bro. Thanks for having me on.
All right, brother, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right, peace.
Well, there you go, everyone. Ghetto Geppetto. Did you hear all of that? Did it sound all right?
I did. And yeah, it's going to work. People will
okay.
be able to hear and understand.
All right, cool. Right on, everyone. I was happy that he did that. We learned a lot. I didn't know.
Yeah, very cool.
I didn't know all that other stuff, so that's cool. But all right, everyone, that is it. We're out of here. We'll be back with part two. And shout out to my homie, Roy Miles, Ghetto Geppetto. Awesome that the first time that he's been on the E Society. He was on MacNess podcast, and he's gonna come back and do more for us. He's also gonna do some stuff for us. Try to get us some designs, and he's the one who goes, yeah, man, I can make you a video or do whatever. So. The wheels are rolling here in the E Society. So Ghetto Geppetto is officially a part of the E Society now. So all right, everyone, we are out of here. So we're out of here again. So until next time, please be safe out there and party on.
Yep. Thanks everyone for listening. Till next time. Have fun, be safe, and we'll see you next time, E Society.